Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, stacking the green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what's happening?
Not a lot, Sean.
Not a lot. We are taping this Sunday of the Memorial Day weekend, right before the Spurs-OKC tip-off. All right, Ryan, let's get the NHL stuff out of the way, and then we'll get back into NBA, wrap up with some early lines on the NFL win total. Sounds like a plan?
Yeah. So, Devils, Kings, of course, the 6 seed taking on the 8 seed.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's great about NHL hockey, is it really is a whole nother season, doesn't matter at all.
No. And once again, the higher seed is the underdog. Makes sense, I guess. The Kings have just been tearing through the playoffs. But
although Quick, their goalie, was super hot. And then, he kind of stumbled a little bit late closing out the Coyotes. But here's the thing. It's almost, in a way, just makes L.A. that much of a stronger team when they're finding new ways to win. Like, they're winning off their scoring instead of just having a shutdown goalie the entire time. I mean, he was standing on his head for the majority of the playoffs. Stumbled a little late, but it wasn't that crazy. This Kings team is tough to beat.
Yeah. I'm not going to pretend like I watched all the games. I've maybe watched 7 playoff games total.
Yeah, I mean,
the Kings seem to be able to score. That and the Devils have been playing solid, but I don't know, they keep winning. The last 2 series, they've really kind of...
Brodeur has been playing really well. And, they've come with some spurts of offense. So, what's the series line here, Ryan?
Well, I'm gonna take the Devils are plus 155 with home ice. So, I'm going to continue to ride the dog, although I did take the favorites last round. Oh, no, I took Devils were a dog and the Kings were a favorite last round. I'm going to take the Devils at plus 155.
All right, I'll go with the Kings. What are they, like minus one?
Minus 175.
Jesus. Well, I'll go with the Kings, but maybe you're just better off betting Kings lines here. I don't think the Kings have lost a game on the road yet, so granted, the New Jersey Devils do have home ice, but I don't think it makes much difference in this series.
Home ice doesn't seem to mean shit in the NHL, so...
Yeah, especially with this Kings team, the way they're playing on the road. I don't know, man. It just feels like NHL's, or the Kings' year. I mean, we're walking around L.A., and it is just Kingstown right now. This is a buzz.
It's pretty hilarious how many people wearing Kings t-shirts. Never seen Kings t-shirts.
Well, it is
fun. Lived here for 8 years.
I mean, I was kind of being sarcastic, because there are a little bit of Kings stuff, but for a major metropolis to have a team in a major sport in the conference finals, or I mean in the Stanley Cup finals, you couldn't have less going on news-wise. And I feel like the news dominating right now is who are the Lakers going to trade, Bynum or Gasol? That's the majority of what people are talking about.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. I mean, it just shows the caliber of sports fans in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of the NHL's fault. To a certain degree, that they put a NHL team in Los Angeles. I mean, it's always going to be, I mean, for as long as we're around, I think it's going to just be a Dodgers and Lakers.
Yeah, I don't know, though, because you look at other warm weather cities. Nashville seems to be getting behind their team. Dallas has always gotten behind their team. I think
well, in general, LA is not a great sports town because it's like...
That's the point I'm trying to make, Sean.
Yeah, showbiz is the number one sport out in here.
And there's the beach. It's 75 degrees today.
We're holed up with darked out windows talking betting lines. Enjoying the Southern California weather. We just played a little basketball against some 15-year-old Mexicans who were shooting lights out from outside. Tough one.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, Kings... I'll go with Kings in 6, Ryan. This Kings team seems to be playing real hot.
That's exactly what Barry Melrose picked. Although he's a little biased. He did coach the Kings. He openly said he's rooting for the Kings. I'll take my my childhood New Jersey Devils to win in 6.
Man, what was the... I don't know if you can look it up on your iPad there, but what do you think the Kings line was going in to win the NHL finals? Probably like 25
to 1.
Going
into the playoffs?
Yeah, 25-1.
Going into the playoffs, I think I saw that they were 50-1.
Wow.
Yeah.
Be nice to have a little money on that 50-1.
Mainly because they were playing Vancouver, who was the 1 seed.
Yeah. But, that, I mean, that's exciting about the NHL, and then also an argument of why they should do something with the regular season to somehow make it worth more, or I don't know. What would you do, Ryan, to fix the NHL regular season?
Well, I think you definitely have the option of more home games for the higher seeds. Now,
right.
I'm not sure it matters, like we just talked about, but maybe you go to a format where it's five home games for the one seed. Gives them a little bit more, gives them an advantage, a greater advantage, you would think.
Yeah, 3-1, 2-1, something like that.
Yeah, or even
well, I guess you'd want the seven. So, like, three games at home to start off and then 1-1-1.
Or 3-2-2.
Yeah, that would actually be a little bit easier. Okay, so we solve the NHL regular season. Make it, yeah, I think that's a good idea. At least it would, yeah, one extra home game, 5-2, that
or,
would seemingly help a little bit.
Yeah, well, I guess the other thing is you could also get byes.
First round byes.
Maybe expand the playoffs to 10 teams in each league and then just have the, you know, top two seeds just get a bye.
Yeah, but then it hurts the regular season more because then it's like,
now you want that bye, right?
10 teams are getting 20 teams in the NHL. They should just have less teams in general and just let everyone make the playoffs.
Yeah, that
just
would
do
work.
Like kind of, you know.
You could do like the ACC tournament or the Big East tournament where they have the double bye. So everyone makes the playoffs. And then you have, you know, the top four seed, like maybe seeds 3 and 4 get one bye, and seeds 1 and 2 get two byes. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, that's definitely one solution. They need to do something to. NHL is really fun when you get into it. It's just tough to follow the entire regular season.
You need to make more, or you could have some other form of tournament. The other option is, I think it's been proposed for basketball, is you have. The worst teams in the league play a tournament also at the end of the year for draft seeding.
Yeah, now that's a great idea. Because then
it eliminates tanking. It adds another level of excitement. It's kind of, I mean, if you think about it, one of the most, well, I'm not sure too many people follow soccer overseas, but one of the most exciting times of the season isn't at the top of the division. It's at the bottom to see which three teams are going to get demoted to the lower league.
Yeah.
Because you can't, you know, you end up on the bottom. That's costing your team a lot of money. You get demoted to the B league. It's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, just have the four worst teams do a playoff to win the draft pick. So at least you earn it somewhere.
Or even go, like, just every, like in basketball, you have everyone that doesn't make the playoffs in the lottery. So then you just play it off. Play it off for more, you know, balls in the ping pong hopper or whatever it is.
Yeah, do something to. Because, yeah, it, I don't know. I mean, it did seem like there was some tanking going on this year trying to get Kyrie Irving. Which, I don't know. He seems like a dude who would definitely benefit from having an extra year in college just because his frame doesn't look that filled out yet.
Yeah, he did all right. I feel like he's not going to get much better than we saw him play this year.
You think he kind of peaked this year?
I think his numbers reflected his situation more than it reflected himself. I mean, I think he scored more than he probably should have. I know they compared him to like Chris Paul Light, but that's a little crazy.
Yeah.
I don't see him being in that top tier point guard.
Oh wait,
ever.
Sorry. Kyrie, I was who's the
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis, yeah.
Yeah, Anthony Davis is.
That's who I was talking
he's
about.
He's essentially a more developed
year.
Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, but I think even if another year, just because the guy looks like he could use a lot more muscle in that frame.
The thing with him, though, unlike a lot of these young kids, especially when the high school kids could come out, he's already good. Like, he's skinny, but he's already good. So they start putting some muscle on him. I mean, he has a 20-foot jumper. He's got a lot of the parts of the game that most young kids don't have. He's going
to
be a
beast. Yeah, I mean, to
he's a game changer.
Have that jumper for a big man like that is huge because then you can do what Kevin Garnett does, play
out. Well, that's what's crazy. He was like 6'3" 3 years ago, and he grew to 6'11".
Yeah, just one more year in college, man. I don't know.
Yeah, can you blame him, though? Would you stay another year?
No, you'd be crazy. If you're in the first round, top 10 pick of any sport, I think it's tough to go back, right?
Especially in basketball, because there's so much relies on years of service. Like, you pretty much are slotted into a certain contract, and the goal is to get to your free agency as fast as possible. So, anyone who says that they should force these kids to play more is just, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
kind of oppose the idea of preventing people from earning a living when they are more than capable to.
Yeah, I mean, but overall, I think it would make college basketball a better product and NBA a better product if these guys did stay in a year, another year. Don't you think so?
Oh, you mean College slavery?
Yeah, college slavery.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just hard for me to really get behind a system. I mean, in football, it makes sense. It's a physical thing. I mean, but a lot of these kids going to college out of high school don't need to be going to college. They're as good as an NBA player.
Well, it's like LeBron James says, you really need that degree. You need to stay in school.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've never heard someone, I mean, all right, so I went to college to get a degree to help me get a job, right?
Right.
These kids are playing basketball. They're going to the schools, making the millions of dollars, not getting a penny, and then going to get a job. What's staying another year going to do for this kid? He's already the best kid, the best at what he does.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying another year physically, I think he could have more of an impact coming in. And the argument there is that if you wait another year, these guys are better prepared overall to make an impact. And that's the idea, is that if you're a crappy team, you want a guy who can help you right away, especially in basketball. You don't really have time to grow these players. You know, you got five guys on the court. If you can get a rookie on the court that makes a difference his rookie year, I mean, with the exception of, like, LeBron, it's tough for these guys to come in and really be a top player.
Yeah, I mean, I think Anthony Davis is probably the best prospect since LeBron and Dwight Howard, those 2 years.
Yeah.
In the fact that he's probably even more ready than Dwight Howard was. Just because, like I said, Dwight Howard didn't have a lot. I mean, it took him 6 years to figure out his offensive game. Anthony Davis has it all. He's got a jump hook with both hands. He's got the jumper. He's going to be really dangerous if you have to run a pick and roll with, because he can pick and pop. He can roll to the hole.
Yeah. I'm just imagining just that, just visually looking at that guy, I think he might have trouble getting boards in the NBA.
We'll see. I mean, that's the other thing, is he already knows how to rebound and block shots. I mean,
that is true. Yeah, I mean, he's got the mental aspect figured out. I'm just saying physically, and the way he hit that late growth spurt, I think in his...
Well, that's the thing, is he's not uncoordinated either. You'd think a guy who grew 8 inches would be a little goofy.
No, yeah.
I mean, the goofiest thing about him is that eyebrow.
Yeah, exactly. And he looks... Yeah, it's... Yeah, he, for a guy that tall who just got all that height, he handles the ball really well, I think.
I just hate hearing all these old white dudes sit and complain about how these kids should be forced to stay in school longer. I mean, if I went to school for a year and some company offered me a ridiculous salary to come work for them, I'd be like, all right, I'm going to leave school early and go. I mean, it's been so frequently in the tech boom, right? These kids were just dropping out of college. I mean, no one's like, hey, Bill Gates, you probably should finish your degree. It's going to help you down the road.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg, does he have a college degree?
No.
No, maybe he does. I don't think
he finished at Harvard.
Yeah, I mean, Michael
Dell dropped out of University of Houston, wherever he was going. I mean, why would you stay? I don't know.
It's
really frustrating.
Okay, so we got our NHL Stanley Cup picks in. Let's move over to the NBA, Ryan, recap things. My Philadelphia Sixers fell to the Celts in Game 7. Seemed kind of inevitable, but you can't, as a Sixers fan, can't be that disappointed. I mean, they won 7 playoff games.
And they had a good run. I mean, I think you got to be excited for Doug Collins. He's already a top 3 coach in the NBA, in my opinion.
He's just intelligent. The players seem to respect him. Getting a bunch of role players to play together like that and winning that many games without a true star.
Yeah, I mean, look how many teams have a coach that relies just on a player, Mike Brown and the Lakers, and I don't know, you could say Scott Brooks in Oklahoma City, and then you have like the guys like Popovich and Thibodeau, Doug Collins, Nate McMillan, who got fired, which is crazy, guys who routinely were successful with nothing, really. I guess Thibodeau, it's early, but I mean...
Look. Now, me and my brother were getting in an argument. Do you think Stan Van Gundy is a good coach?
Yeah, he's a good coach. I mean, I think it helps to have Dwight Howard on the team.
Right.
I think Stan Van Gundy would easily be... He's a top 10 coach in the NBA. I would much rather have him than a lot of the coaches out there.
I don't know. I mean, what is Dwight Howard looking for? You know?
I mean, I'm sure a lot of it got blown out of proportion. At the end of the day, I don't know. I don't know what... It's true, though, because I think he probably wants a coach that's going to be more like, I don't know, Mike Brown or not. You know, he wants someone who's not...
Yeah, but you got to realize Mike Brown isn't a great coach.
But I think Dwight Howard doesn't like... I mean, Stan Van Gundy, much like his brother, was not afraid to get in your face and tell you you're lazy. And I don't think Dwight Howard likes that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Phil Jackson, whatever his style was, but at least Jordan respected him. And I think Phil Jackson helped to get – I mean, you can – obviously, Phil had great players. But I think also part of being a great coach is getting more out of great players and getting these great players to figure out ways to work with their other players. I mean, I think that was part of Mike Brown's problem, was not getting Kobe's respect and getting Kobe to work with the team more.
Yeah, I mean, I think – I don't know. I don't want to sound like I'm hating on Phil Jackson. But I feel like if you swapped Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich – Popovich would still be successful. I'm not sure Phil Jackson would be.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like how do you argue against Phil Jackson? I mean, he's still possibly one of the greatest coaches of all time, right?
Yeah, I guess how many other coaches coached two of the top 10 players in NBA history?
Right. Yeah, but then again, if Kobe didn't like him or if Michael didn't like him, they easily could have got rid of him. So,
yeah, I don't know.
All right, so the Celtics moved past the Sixers, took them 7 games.
Yeah, what a hard
Heat beat the Pacers. We had that Pacers series price. We were counting our money when the Pacers were up 2-1. Dwayne Wade got his knee drained, came out of nowhere, went off.
All right, Sean.
It's hard to – I mean, now this Eastern Conference, I don't want either one of these teams to win.
Yeah.
I despise the Celtics just because they're a Boston sports team. And I despise that organization. They wanted to get rid of Rondo. They were trying to trade Rondo.
Yeah, I don't mean this in a sexual fashion, but this is the gayest series that could have happened.
It's the worst. It's the worst case scenario. And when Derrick Rose went out, it's just like...
Although, I feel like Boston has at least a puncher's chance against Miami.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think the series price is, Sean?
Take a guess at the series price. I'll say Boston plus 300.
Yeah. Boston plus 430.
Oh, okay. I was going to go 350.
Heat minus 530.
Jesus Christ. What kind of animal would be taking 530 to win 100 on this Heat team?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, okay, so let's move on to the predictions for the East here. I say the Heat win it in 6.
Yeah, I feel like it's not getting to 6 games. I think the Heat are just going to...
Maybe 5. I mean, they play tomorrow.
Yep.
Heat-Celtics play Monday night. How does Boston get up for that game in Miami?
They're old. They've played a lot of games.
That game 7 took a lot out of that team, I think. Just from watching them play? I mean, Philly gave them all they can handle. Now you got to fly down to Miami after Miami's just been getting a lot of rest.
If Ray Allen needs to score 20 points a game in this series for it to be competitive.
Yeah, and I don't think he can do that with those bone spurs. And they have at least guys that'll come out on them.
Yeah, I could only imagine what bone spurs feel like in your feet.
Yeah, and for a guy who that's all he relies on is, you know, getting that insane lift for that nice jump shot. I mean, that's got to be devastating.
Although I got to say, so game one line, Miami minus 8, over under 180. I really like the under. I think I might just take the under every game in this series. Both teams play good defense. I feel like both teams are going to struggle to score. 180 seems a bit high.
Yeah, I like the under. I mean, I guess I'll take Miami and the under. Although that 8 is a little high. I don't see Boston winning this game, so it's hard for me not to take Miami and the under here.
Yeah, and I don't know. God. I would lay up to maybe 400 on the Heat, but...
Oh, you mean for a series price,
yeah,
like a minus 400?
I'm going to wait. I have a feeling people bet the Celtics down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there could be some real value. If Boston steals one of these first two, then I think that's the time. If you're thinking about the Heat series... Wait for them to lose a game here in Miami, and then go on it.
Yeah. Not happy about this series, nor am I excited about it.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, I guess... All right, let's move over to the West here, where you got the Spurs, who no one seems to enjoy watching, although they
That's a different Spurs team.
They just do everything right, man. I mean,
Haters be hating.
No, the people hate on them, and they say they're boring, but they're not even really boring anymore.
No, this team isn't boring. The old Spurs were boring. This team, they were the most efficient offense in the league this year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're boring in that they're efficient, that they're just so technically sound, the way they move the ball around, the way they get high-quality shots, the way Duncan still just dominates the paint for some reason. And you got Greg Popovich, like you said, one of the best coaches in the game, going up against, what's his name?
Scott Brooks.
Who... It's yet to be seen. And I don't know. I mean, OKC style is – they got great players, don't get me wrong, but I feel like that jump shot style is not going to play against a team like San Antonio.
I think they also turn the ball over like 16 times a game, which the Spurs won't be doing that.
So. They're going to be – yeah. I mean, the Spurs, they get high-quality looks consistently. Consistently just have guys in the right place. And if you lose the turnover battle – And this San Antonio team just has so much confidence. I mean, they were down 24 points to the Clippers, didn't blink an eye, and came all the way back.
So we already talked about this line, so I'm not going to ask you to guess it. But so the Thunder are plus 170, Spurs minus 205.
I like the Spurs here too. I mean, yeah, minus 205. I think is a pretty I don't know, man. I just don't see this San Antonio team losing. I think San Antonio is going to win the title from here on out.
Yeah, so I have a prop 20-1 with $50 on it for the Spurs to win the West. So I did the slightly pussy thing and hedged. I basically guaranteed myself 600 either way.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad idea. I mean, if it was me, I would have hedged a little less. Just so I'd have at least a team to root for, per se.
Although now that I'm looking at game one, Spurs minus 5.5, over under 204. Call me crazy, but I want to bet this Spurs minus 5.5.
Yeah, at home in San Antonio?
At home. I want to see how Oklahoma City reacts to playing. I mean, I guess the argument would be the Spurs haven't played anyone. OKC just was in a battle.
Yeah, but I think that Clippers team played pretty hard. I mean, obviously they're not as good as OKC, but I feel like they manned up against San Antonio, played pretty hard at times.
I don't think San Antonio has played a hard game yet in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, well, they were down 24, Ryan, so I think that's a hard game to win.
Nah, they played Chris Paul. I mean, I'm going to take San Antonio minus 5.5.
I like that.
In about an hour, well. Unless that when you're hearing this.
Yeah, hopefully I'm going to get this up as soon as possible so you guys can – we'll be tweeting our picks, of course, at Gambling Podcast.
Of course.
I'm at Green Room Show. He's
at
Green Room Center.
I'm going to take that right now.
Yeah, throw that tweet out now so people know where we're coming at. All right, let's make some – so we both like Miami minus 8 and the under. What's your take on this over-under? I kind of like the over. I don't like taking the under on this Spurs team.
If I'm taking a side, I'm taking the over. I think the line is going to be continually set low because people think of the Spurs as the defensive team. But like I just said, they were the top team in offensive efficiency this year. They shot 40% from 3-point land. They just make buckets. So hard for me to see this game staying under 200 points.
And what's it at, 204?
204.
All right. I'll take the over.
Yeah.
Spurs in the over, that feels good.
Why not?
Spurs minus 6 feels pretty good, though.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to put real money on.
Spurs minus 6?
Spurs minus 6.
All right, well, so now how do you see this series? I say Spurs in 6.
Again, I don't even know if it's going to get that far. I think...
The Spurs haven't lost a game in the playoffs. What is their record against the spread past 17 games? It's something crazy.
They've
like
lost one. I believe, or maybe two against the spread. It's something ridiculous.
Yeah, I think the past 18 games, it's like 15-2-1 or 16-2-1, something crazy. And they're how many games have they won in a row? It's like 18. They've won 8 in a row in the playoffs, and I think they had like a 10-game win streak
It's somewhere between 16 and 18. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought I heard it somewhere when they were still playing the Clippers that it was 16. So, yeah, it's got to be over 16. I think they're looking at either 17, 18 games in a row. Why would you go against this team right now? They look too good.
Yeah, they've given me no reason to bet against them. I don't know.
I'm talking myself into the Spurs team, right? I like Spurs, and then I think Spurs in 5 against the Heat, man. Way too the coaching battle alone. Unless Bosch comes back and makes a huge impact, I like the Spurs to win it all. Give me a scenario where the Spurs don't win it all, Ryan.
In this series, I think Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant have to score, I don't know, 70, 75 a game combined. I just see the problem is that OKC has a pretty good bench, and that's where, you know, Harden comes in and kind of gives them a lift in the second unit. The Spurs have a ridiculous bench too, and it's just they.
Yeah, no, the Spurs. You got Steven Jackson. You got Ginobili. Ginobili's still coming off the bench, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to take an injury to Parker or Ginobili. I mean, that's the other thing that people aren't. I mean, I think this is a rare series where Westbrook is evenly matched. Usually, he has a decided advantage in quickness. And
why does Tony Parker not get more talk, man?
He's French.
Yeah.
No one likes French people.
Who is he married to? Eva Mendes or
Eva Longoria?
Eva Longoria. He broke America's sweetheart, Eva Longoria.
All the housewives in San Antonio, they love them some Eva Longoria. So when that situation happened, oh, bad PR move, buddy.
I love Popovich. Popovich gives some of the best sideline interviews. Like when they were down huge against the Clippers, like what's going wrong here? What do you guys need to do in the second half? Score more baskets? They just walked off. It was one of the greatest sideline interviews I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad someone mocks those stupid fucking questions.
Well, here's the thing. They're both in a tough situation because the sideline reporter can only ask one or two questions. You want it to be something interesting. You're trying to get basically a nugget of like, oh, in the third quarter we're going to do this or that. But usually you're asking the team that's not doing well, so the coach is already pissed off. They don't want to give away anything that they're going to end up doing. It's like it's lose-lose for both people. I don't even know why they have sideline reporters. It's kind of – you're not really adding anything.
Yeah. I mean, you're adding that stupid suit that Sager wears every night.
Yeah, Craig Sager. Okay, he's a character. Fine, whatever. Okay, Aaron Andrews, hot chick. Fine. That's all right. But, okay, if someone gets injured, all right, that's fine. You have a guy there to get a quote.
But
that's fine, but for the most part, these interviews and just in general, people checking in on the sidelines.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, it doesn't add anything. I think, with the exception of Goose in the Tony Goose and Moose. Or no, wait, what is it? Kenny Moose and Goose. Yeah, I think Goose really rounds out that broadcast team.
Well, at least he has some insight. It's not just dumb statements like Pam Oliver's down there like, ah. Oh. They're going to come out and play harder in the second half. No shit.
And I don't know what it is about basketball. I feel like they rarely ever have a former player doing the sideline reporting gig. Am I wrong?
Well, Sager was, I believe.
He used to play basketball?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. He just dresses like such a fruit.
That's why he's so tall, I think.
Okay. But at least like a recent player, because then they seem maybe have some relationships. Maybe they can get something out of being on the sideline.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, so you like the Spurs as well to win it all?
Yeah, I mean, I fear that it's my anyone but Miami. I feel like whoever comes out of the West, I like to beat Miami, hopefully.
Wow, you think? I don't know. I mean.
But yeah, I think I don't see the Spurs team losing.
Yeah, I mean, for just the interest of the finals, I would like to see OKC the Heat, I think.
San Antonio versus the Heat would be just as interesting because it's like old guard and new guard.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of like excitement as far as the game itself. I would have. I'd rather see. I mean, I'd rather watch OKC play, but yeah. I mean, I think the Spurs obviously have a much better chance of beating the Heat. So, and I don't want the Heat to win. The only saving grace is if the Heat wins. This was a strike-shortened season, so at least it's one asterisk on their championship.
Yeah. And of course, this would be the second asterisk for the Spurs, who won in 99, the last strike-shortened season, lockout.
Yeah, but this, it doesn't matter for this team, right?
No.
They've already made their bones.
I mean, I feel like if they win, you have to start talking about Tim Duncan as the greatest player ever.
Yeah, but I don't think they will. I mean, just because the casual fan does not respect Tim Duncan enough.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan. We're approaching the dog days of summer here, so we're itching for football.
OTAs just happened.
OTAs. Of course, Hakeem Nicks broke his foot. That's huge. Great news for the
NFC. Yeah, he'll be out for a bunch of weeks when they're not playing football.
It's probably the best time for this to happen.
Yeah.
For the Giants, obviously. Okay, so let's maybe not go through Well, yeah, let's just take a look. Some of the early win totals are out, so let's go through a few of those.
We can pound through them quick. So start with the AFC, get the East Division, Patriots at 12 wins, which we just talked about off the – this seems awfully high. I haven't looked at their schedule. I don't know who they're playing, but, I mean, to bet on the over, you need them to go 13-3. That's a bit of a –
That's
seems
a lot.
Like a not much margin for error.
Yeah, and I think the division.
Look, it's not very good.
It's not very good, but it's hard to tell. Like, you try to look at a team's schedule and try to make sense of, like, who's going to be good this year or not. You can't, because the NFL changes so much. Shrink the schedule doesn't mean anything going into the year.
Yeah, so here's where that concerns me, though. So we'll move to the Jets, 8.5. I would take the under. This Jets team is, I mean, they literally have two of the worst five quarterbacks in the league.
But here's the thing. I still think Tim Tebow is a starter. Can you, Ryan, is Tim Tebow one of the top 32 quarterbacks? Don't you think Tim Tebow should be a starter somewhere in the NFL?
Yeah, but that's even what's even crazier about them trading for Tebow. Now the crowd's going to be chanting for Tebow when the Jets start off 1-3.
As far as offseason moves, them re-signing Mark Sanchez to a big contract, basically going, hey, Mark, you're our guy, and then going for Tim Tebow, that makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me.
All right, Sean.
What are you trying to sell, jerseys? You're the New York Jets. You guys can sell jerseys.
They started the season at home against Buffalo, then at Pittsburgh, at Miami, San Francisco, Houston.
Yeah, that's a tough start.
I mean, so what best case scenario, they're 3-2, best case scenario.
Yeah,
best case scenario. They beat Houston at. I mean, they're not beating San Francisco at home.
Well, here's the thing. I don't mind the Jets getting Tim Tebow, but I do mind them still having Mark Sanchez. I think if you got rid of Mark Sanchez, had Tim Tebow as your starter, got back to your identity of being a team that runs the ball, plays good defense, and used Tim Tebow in that format. I mean, that's how Denver won. When they were winning games, they were playing good defense, they were running the ball.
Yeah, I would take the under on the Jets. Okay. They're not winning 9 games this year.
So we like the under on the Jets and the Patriots.
Dolphins 7.5. All right, help me understand this. They're starting a rookie, right?
Well, it's, I don't know, is Tannehill going to be the starter? It sounds like it.
He went to college with Mike Sherman. He already kind of knows the playbook.
Why is everyone – I feel like I'm the lone voice in the woods here that says Matt Moore showed some nice stuff in that second half.
Yeah. This whole division stinks. I guess I would lean towards the under again.
Okay. 7.5.
And then the Bills are 7.
Oh, man. I like the Bills over at 6.5.
I'd probably take the division under except for the Bills. Take the Bills over.
Yeah, the Bills are tricky, though, because and they start off with, like, decent, and then supposedly Fitzpatrick was hurt that second half of the season when he was playing poorly. So, and then they were also getting a ton of breaks on turnovers and stuff like that, but they did get Mario Williams.
Defense got an automatic up. I don't know. I early lean would be just pound the under on all the teams except for the Bills.
Okay.
Moving on to the North, we got the Steelers and Ravens both at 10.
Wow.
Seems like the same thing every year. It's like a two-horse race.
I think the Steelers take a step back this year. Big Ben.
New offensive coordinator.
Big Ben. Yeah, and he's having trouble with the offense already, kind of complaining. I mean, that could just be – we're talking early OTA leans here. It's tough.
I would – if I had to – since I feel like it makes sense to take over on one and under on the other – I would lean over on the Steelers and under on the Ravens. I'm not a believer in Flacco. Terrell Suggs being out is huge.
How long is he out for?
He claims he's going to come back in November, but if torn Achilles, it sounds like it's like a 10-month
injury. Oh, okay. I didn't realize he blew that up.
Yeah. Well, he blew it out training for football, not playing basketball.
That sounds like a contract thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I like that idea, but I kind of want to go the other way. I just feel like... Early thoughts, I feel like this might be a down year for the Steelers.
And you got Bengals 7.5, which I would take the over. I feel like the Bengals are only getting better. They're really young. They played well last year. Andy Dalton's only going to get better. And they picked up some nice draft picks. Marvin Lewis is clearly a good coach. He puts out a decent team with nothing, so now they have something. AJ Green might be the, you know, other than Calvin Johnson, one of the best receivers in the league.
All right.
They have an easy early schedule.
So then what? Just go under on Cleveland again?
Yeah.
What are they at? 6.5?
5.5.
Wow. That's tough to take that under, though.
Did you hear what Jim Brown said about Trent Richardson?
No.
He doesn't believe he's an elite talent.
All right. I'll take the Cleveland over. I like them to win 6 games this year.
I guess I would probably lay off of that one. That's awfully low to take the under, but... All right, South, you got Texans at 10. Seems kind of low for who in their division is going to compete? Tennessee, I guess? I guess we talked about it. I might have picked them to win the division. But I don't know. Houston was looking like the best team in the league before Shabbat.
All right, I'll take the Houston over. Okay, now what else? What's Tennessee
we got
at?
Tennessee 7. That also feels like an over.
They feel like at least a .500 team, but who knows?
I just feel like they... The Colts and the Jags both feel like two to four win teams.
Yeah, I think you're going to...
I don't know where they're getting off setting the Colts at 5.5.
Yeah, I like
Cam
the under
Newton
on that.
And the Panthers were 4.5 last year with a much more NFL-ready team.
And I think Cam Newton's game lended itself to impact the NFL right away.
Sooner. All right, so even if you say Luck's probably a better prospect, but that Colts team was awful last year. I mean... They haven't really added much besides Andrew
They liquidated.
Luck.
They got rid of a lot of guys. They got rid of...
And it sounds like they might still trade Freeney.
Yeah, Freeney's not going to be back. You got...
They're also moving to a 3-4, which... I don't know. They're an undersized defense moving
If this team wins 4 games, it's going to be a miracle.
Might be one where I might bet my life on the under. And then the Jags. I don't know.
Jags, nameless, faceless franchise.
They
got that receiver, though, right?
The Jags and the Colts both feel like a 4.5 win total.
So they're starting Blaine Gabbert again, right?
Yeah, and they're setting it. I guess they have Chad Henne, but they're setting... Both these lines should be 4.5.
And what is this at?
5.5.
Yeah, you're getting good value there.
I don't know.
I'd say take both those unders. One of those has got to be the dog of that division.
Yeah, if I'm betting that division, I'm taking the over on the good team, Tennessee and Houston, and the under on the Jags and Indy. So then the West, you got... This is crazy. You got the Broncos at 9.5. Of course, Peyton Manning coming to town.
At 9.5?
Peyton Manning is valued at 7 wins over like the last 5 years in his career. But, God. I mean, Tebow led them, what, 8, 9 wins?
Well, that's the thing. It's a lot of this is kind of a bet on what was Tim Tebow's actual impact. Were they winning in spite of Tim Tebow, or are they winning because of Tim Tebow?
I
think they were winning because of Tim Tebow.
Interesting.
Now, he put them in bad situations, but there was a mojo going with that team that kind of believed in him, that a lot of stuff happened, regardless of whether it was – not directly related to Tim Tebow, but there is something to starting believing and like, this is our guy.
Sean, here's a question for you. When's the last time Peyton Manning didn't win 10 games?
Well, yeah, but then when was the last time Peyton Manning could not turn his neck and had 4 neck surgeries? So I think that kind of throws off the over-under here.
I'd probably lay off this one. Maybe lean on the over.
I say under.
Chargers at 9.
I like the under on that. I think every year
this Chargers team just disappoints.
They're not gonna win 10 games with Norv Turner still coaching this squad.
This one's gonna blow your mind. Chiefs, 8.
Yeah, I like going under on a Romeo Crennel team.
And then Raiders at 7.
I like the over on the Raiders.
Oh, sorry, I can't. Carson Palmer's your starting quarterback. I'm under.
Well, they got those. McFadden's gonna be back healthy, right?
Yes. Well, so they say.
Yeah, I mean, some of these we'll have to wait and see how the injuries shake out and whatever, but I like Oakland early. Over.
Yeah. So I have to find the NFC over-unders. They're not on the same page. All right, we got them. All right. Your Philadelphia Eagles, 10 wins.
Wow.
Yeah, it's always a little strange when a team in the NFC East gets the over the 9.5 line. Seems a little high. This was probably driven up by betting.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think if you're thinking of taking the over here, I think you're better off just betting the Eagles to win the division if you think the over. Because I think if they hit 11 games, they probably win the division, right?
I mean,
how do they win 11 games and not win the division?
I mean, yeah, not only that, but the NFC East plays the AFC North this year, which that's no cupcake. And then they also have the NFC South. So they have Atlanta, New Orleans, and Carolina.
I mean, I like the offseason moves the Eagles have done. I like their draft. I like the way that Michael Vick is.
Is Juan Castillo still the defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think their defense. You look at the way the defense played in the second half, and they're not this dream team. They got more time to get everything to put together.
If D'Amico Ryans has a good year, they'll be solid because that was what they were missing. You could just gash them through the middle. They were soft and undersized. D'Amico Ryan got them big. I guess there's still some questions at safety.
They lost a lot of leads in the fourth quarter. So is that from the scheme, from bad coaching, from not having an inside presence?
And
it
honestly,
could be a couple different things.
Asante Samuel was their best cornerback, and they basically gave him away. So that it'll be interesting to see.
But I think that was more of a cap space.
No, I get it, but I mean, do you not think he was the best cornerback in the Eagles last year?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't thrilled about it, but I think you need to have Nnamdi play man. You know, I don't know, just the alignments they had him in, and then Cromartie, I don't think, liked playing slot. So I think if you have those two guys working the outside, I think it's going to be a little better setup. At least there's some continuity from this team in last year. I think the problem last year was just no continuity, especially on the defensive end. So I think the Eagles are going to have a better year than last year. As far as just overall, so we'll see. Does that mean they're going to win 9 games, 10 games, win the division 11 games? I mean, honestly, I would probably bet the under, but like I said, I wouldn't bet the over because I would just bet them to win the division. I think you get better odds on them winning. What do you have the division odds?
Yeah, so the NFC East, the Eagles are plus 120. Not much value.
Oh, okay.
There.
Well, then I was off on that. So I guess they're the odds-on favorite to win the NFC East.
Yeah, Eagles plus 120, Giants and Cowboys plus 220, Eagles or Redskins 12-1.
Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, I would probably take the Giants plus 220. I feel like you get a lot of good value. I mean, they're returning a lot of the same.
Already?
Guys.
So
they won the Super Bowl. Why would you?
Their line is 9.5, and I know it wasn't talked about as much as, say, when the Packers had all those injuries, but they basically had three key defensive starters and a couple of starters on offense out for the year, and some of them before the season even started. So they're essentially getting back, you know, almost like a free agent pickup. They're getting Terrell Thomas back, Marvin Austin,
and
Will Beattie. I mean, it's...
And here's the thing. If the Giants do get off to a bad start like they did last year, or they have moments where they struggle, looks like they're kind of down and out, this team has rallied so much before. They seem to have totally bought into Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin that I don't think you can really rattle this team as far as the season. I say, as much as it pains me to say, I say you take the over or bet the division. Same kind
of
thing.
And I feel like, the Cowboys are at 8.5. I'll take the under on that. We have to stop thinking this Cowboys team is good.
Well, I think to hit 9 wins, you need to be able to win in December, November. And Tony Romo has not shown the ability to do that. Until he does, give me the under.
This feels like a year where the Giants and Eagles have a little bit more separation than normal. I think they're both going to have around 10 wins, and I think the Redskins and Cowboys are going to be more like 7-win teams.
Yeah, I don't know. The Redskins...
They're 6.5, which, again, seems a little high for a team starting a rookie. I feel like I might just bet every under where a rookie is going to be the starting quarterback. I feel like we're getting a little too excited about the hype with some of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, the argument again for the Redskins over is that they had a pretty solid team. They played good defense. It was just all Rex Grossman's fault. I mean, that's the argument. And you're bringing
RG3. These are some things RG3 didn't see in college. DeMarcus Ware, Trent Cole, Justin Tuck, Jason Pierre-Paul, Jason Babin. I mean, the NFC East has probably, what, 5 of the top 25 pass rushers in the league?
Yeah, I mean,
this is
the Cam Newton influence. People see what Cam Newton did. But what did that team win, 6 games?
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem is they're playing against teams with some of the most athletic pass rushers in the league. And
yeah, I mean, he's going to be easy to scheme against early on.
I just think he hasn't seen guys like Trent Cole and DeMarcus Ware and Pierre Paul, who are big and strong and fast.
Athletic, big pass rushers.
All right, moving to the north. Green Bay at 12, which another one.
Same kind of logic here. If you're getting odds on a team to win 13 games, just do it. And here's the thing, Ryan. You'll have hedge opportunities if it comes down to it.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. How are they going to get... I mean, unless they win, like, the first 13 games in a row, you're going to have an opportunity to hedge against this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Plus, Detroit and Chicago seem to be coming on up, so...
Detroit and Chicago, I mean, I would, like... I would seriously look into Detroit or Chicago division win odds.
Well, here... So, Detroit 9.5 seems about right. I think, if anything, it might be a slight bit too high. I mean... I think we're getting a little too excited. It sounds like Nick Fairley might be facing some suspension time. I don't know if you saw, he got a DUI and also got arrested for marijuana like a month ago.
Come on.
Yeah. I think it's the whole like doing it, like being dumb and doing it twice. Anyway, Chicago at 8.5, that seems like a lock to take the over. This team was one of the best teams in the league before Cutler went down. They got better.
Yeah, as much as we killed Mike Martz early on, they did kind of figure it out.
You know who their backup is this year? Backup quarterback, which seemingly has killed them the last couple of years. Jason Campbell.
Oh, okay.
To which Jason Campbell, you know, he was not a great starting quarterback, although he was pretty solid.
Dude, he had a nice little...
But he's definitely the best backup quarterback in the league.
Well, assuming we're not counting Tim Tebow as a backup quarterback.
He's better than Tim Tebow.
Totally disagree.
Yeah, that's fine. And then the Vikings at 6.
I kind of like the under here.
Yeah, I mean, Peterson's not... They're saying Peterson's ahead of schedule in recovery, but...
Yeah, but let's say Peterson can play the last four games. Are they going to put him in?
No. I think, he's saying he's going to be ready week one.
Oh, no way!
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If they start Joe Webb, I'm maybe on this team winning more than six games. That guy, he's a better throw in Tim Tebow.
You know
Tebow.
What the problem with Joe Webb is? He's a black guy, and clearly the Vikings are racist.
I don't know, man. It's got to be something.
We can't go through a Tavares Jackson situation again. We got to start the white guy.
Why? I mean, Joe Webb's done nice. I mean,
he just wins games. Christian Ponder. He's not ready.
Yeah, I see what you're thinking.
They got a lineman, I guess. Maybe
Christian Ponder. He's the guy you build long term. Blah blah blah. It's a Kevin Cobb syndrome.
Yeah,
Okay, dude. If he's blowing it up in practice and doing that great, fine. Leave him in. But you got a guy who can win games. Why would you not start him?
I don't know. So moving to the South, New Orleans at 10.
Oh, you gotta take the under in this New Orleans team.
What kind? Yeah, I don't know. It seems like Drew Brees is pissed off. He's not at practicing right now. I don't know. I hate New Orleans. I'm taking the under. Now, here's the thing to note. They do have to play the NFC East. That's four tough games, no matter how you slice it. Atlanta at 9 wins. Give me the over. They just seem to win 10 games every year. I hate them, but they win games at home.
Yeah, no, they are. They're a solid team at home.
I guess that is a little high considering they play the NFC East, but it just seems like they're going to find a way to win. They'll probably win the division this year, unfortunately.
Now, what are the Panthers at? This is
7.5. It seems a little high. As it says here, they play at Philly, at KC, at San Diego, and at Chicago. Those are some tough road games. They also, I don't know.
Actually, I'll take the over in Carolina.
I mean, they kind of had a similar injury problem to the Giants. They had a lot of injuries last year. They shored up their defense with Luke Kuechly, and they got Beeson coming back. I would take the over just to root for the... I mean, I feel like I can root for this team. And then the Bucks at 6. I don't know. I mean, I guess Josh Freeman maybe like learned how to work out in the offseason, and they got this coach that...
He's a vegan now.
This coach...
Or no, gluten-free,
this
sorry.
This coach seems to be signing all Rutgers players.
And what is it, 6?
6. That seems about right.
Yeah, I don't know. What'd they win last year?
They won like 3?
That team really did quit. So I want to take the over on this one as well.
Yeah.
So I guess I would take the over on Carolina and Tampa and take the under on
They signed some big free agents too.
I like the under on New Orleans and the over on the other ones.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm okay with that. And then NFC West, San Fran to win 10.
Why not, man? I like the over on that.
Alex Smith is the why not. But their
division stinks. Yeah, but they built a team around. They built the team around Alex Smith. Alex Smith has a little bit of swagger. The coach is into him. He's a good coach. So,
yeah, and right now the odds are plus on the over, plus 105. So,
yeah, I kind of like the over here.
Seahawks at 7. That seems about right. This team was playing tough. They seem to be buying into Pete Carroll's like cheerleading routines.
Yeah, I could see him winning 8 games. I'll take the over on them, and then give me the under on the Rams and the
Cardinals at 7, probably. Rams at 6.
Do you think there's any value in this Rams team? Do they pull it together?
They got a lot of rookies. They have a great coach now.
Who's their quarterback? What's his
Sam
name?
Sam Bradford. I mean,
I'm not quite sold on Sam Bradford. I mean, at least
he was hurt 1 year. He was basically hurt both years, and partially because the offensive line sucked, partially because they were passing so much because they were down. They still have Steven Jackson. They picked up some parts. I think Sam Bradford's not a bad quarterback, and I'll put some stock in Jeff Fisher.
All right. So, that's actually not a bad over. I don't know if Sam Bradford's quite the franchise quarterback grade A star that they've branded him.
Yeah,
This
is his third year coming up. He was the first overall pick.
Well, I think him, Matt Ryan, and Joe Flacco, we kind of gave too much credit too early. And at least Joe Flacco won some playoff games. But I'm not quite sold on Bradford.
Bradford's better than Ryan and Flacco, I would say.
You're just basing that on
ability.
Yeah, but you haven't seen it yet in results.
No, but I think they could steal some games because Arizona and Seattle and even San Francisco. I don't know. This San Francisco team with Alex Smith just doesn't.
Okay, and 6 is. Jeff Fisher feels like he can get 8 wins out of almost any team.
I have a feeling that Arizona really eats shit, mainly because they continue to start Kevin Cobb.
Cobb will start 4 games, and they'll put Skelton in. They'll have a couple. They'll make a decent run, but they'll still be 7-9, 6-10.
Not to mention that Tavares Jackson might end up getting cut because the Seahawks want to play Matt Flynn or Russell Wilson. And Tavares Jackson is another guy who seems to not get enough love because he wins some games. I mean, he's not great, but he's good enough to win you 8 games.
Well, unlike Joe Webb, Tavares Jackson at least had his shot. He had his shot starting.
He was good last year with Seattle.
Yeah, I'm just saying, he's got his opportunities. I feel bad for a guy like Joe Webb, who for whatever reason is not getting a shake. Why was Joe Webb not talked about in these free agency? Because he's not like a quote-unquote sexy player?
Because I think they feel like he's not polished.
Matt Flynn put up 500 yards in 1 game with that Green Bay team at home.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, he looked good, but I mean, Joe Webb won multiple games with a Vikings team that was pretty shitty.
That's true.
I mean, he went into Philly, won. He won some tough games.
And now, to answer your... So the NFC North division odds, if you like betting against Green Bay, you can get Chicago or Detroit for plus 450.
Wow. Okay. I kind of like those.
I think I would take small bet on Chicago at plus 450.
Yeah, that doesn't feel that bad.
I mean, if you want to take a long shot with your Carolina Panthers, 5-1.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, that division seems up for grabs, right?
New Orleans minus 110, Atlanta plus 160.
I love that Carolina team, and I just like rooting for Cam Newton, man. He's a fun guy to watch.
The West is pretty, you know, San Francisco's minus 225.
I did pick up Cam Newton week 2 in fantasy football.
Great move by the general manager, Sean Green.
Exactly. All right, man. So we got a lot to look forward to. We'll check back in with a... we will have some recaps from the NBA Conference Finals, touch on the Stanley Cup.
We got the U.S. Open, I think, is in 3 weekends from now, maybe 2.
U.S. Open just around the corner. Ryan, give us a little baseball update.
I don't know, usual. Took the weekend off. It was mentally draining.
Philly's getting a little heat.
They lost today, though. I think they got crushed today.
Yeah, 8-3, but they'll still win the series, probably. Oh, they already did, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's baseball, it's early. It's hard to really get excited about anything until August. I don't know. I'm still sitting at, like, I believe my winning percentage right now is 55%.
It's a lot of plus odds games, so.
Yeah, so
you're up,
48% is the break-even point.
Okay, so you're up decent amount of units for the MLB picks?
Yeah, it's in the 20s.
All right, check us out there at Gambling Podcast. You can check out all the archive episodes. Subscribe on iTunes at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Make sure you click through that Amazon link. And for the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
I have nothing to say, Sean.
Let it ride.